Oh, how he loves us. Really true. Thank you, Zach, and all those that backed him up. Beautiful, beautiful. I know that, I assume that some of you look forward to the end. But I want you to hang tight a little bit longer this morning, because following the teaching today, and after the Connect cards, we have a very special blessing service that I want you to make sure you're part of, and you'll learn more as that time comes. And the reason we're putting at the end is because we're waiting for some people to show up. This could be part of that blessing service. New Year's resolution. Now, 2019. Wow. I never thought I'd see this day. I praise God. He's good. I remember asking my mom when I was a teenager, do you think I'll ever live long enough for the year 2000? Wow. 19 years beyond that now. And God is good. God is good. A lot of people make New Year's resolution to, and some don't, but those that do usually don't keep them anyway, do they? Some of the favorites, of course, typical New Year's resolution is let's eat less, okay? Yeah. Or exercise more. Yeah, you know that too. Spend less, save more. Stop smoking, stop drinking. Stop sinning. Of course, there's the big one. I resolve I'm going to lose weight. Here's a few less serious ones. You ready? I love these. I resolved not to do drugs anymore because I get the same effect just by standing up really fast. Love it. I have resolved to live in my own little world because at least they know me here. I have resolved to stay married because it is so great to find that one special person you want to annoy the rest of your life. I've resolved not to make any resolutions because nobody's perfect. And I'm a nobody, so therefore I'm perfect. What type of resolutions would you make? If you were to make resolutions, what type would you make? I've come up with six that I want to share with you. Six possible New Year's resolutions that I want to challenge you with. Here's the first one. I love this. Let me take a look at it quick like here. I know what the first one is. Here we go. Reload. I think what Don James is going to have to do, I don't know, it's not even recognizing my computer. I think what we're going to have to do is there it is. First one. Make a resolution to love one another. Huh? To love one another, no matter what. Remember what Jesus says? You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of the Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's love. God gives everybody, good and bad. If you love those who love you, what reward do you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. God is asking us to do something that's difficult. Not only are we to love our neighbors, our enemies, not only are we to love our enemies, but we're to pray for them. And I'm sure all of you have stories. I can remember many years ago, a pastor in a church, and one individual in that church had difficulties with me, as some of you might have, I don't know, and did just about everything they could possibly do to impeach me. And I'm not going to go into the details and tell all the stories, but it finally got so bad that one day my wife says to me, she says, "Dear," she says, "enough is enough. Enough is enough. We need to move on." And so the first time in my ministry, and the only time in my ministry, I went to the conference and I asked to be moved. And they understood the situation and they moved me. I supposed to pray for that person? I supposed to ask God to bless them? I didn't for years. And one morning I was praying and I was going through the Lord's Prayer as I was praying, "Forgive me of my sins." And I confessed my sins and I thanked God for forgiving me. And then I went on and he says, "Wait a minute. You haven't finished." And I says, "Wait a minute. You don't understand." "Oh, yes, I do. You need to forgive and bless them." Whew. I did. And today I'd have to say that we're really good friends. I even sit at their table and eat meals even now. But God had to take me through that journey. You must forgive them and bless them. I mean, stop and think of God and what he did for us. You know, we were his enemies. We have sinned against him and done wrong, and he came to this earth and he forgave us. Matter of fact, he forgave us so much that he took all our sins as if they weren't anymore, put them on himself, and went all the way to the cross and was nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross for you and me. Forgiven us and blessed us. Can we do any less? We can't really do any less. Here's the second one. Make a resolution to love your spouse. That's an important one, isn't it? Make a resolution to love your spouse. Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Husband, love your wife like that. How much did Christ love the church? Well, we just mentioned how he died for us. No matter who we were, no matter what we did, he died for us. And not only us, but he died for everyone. He died for anyone. Are you willing to put your wife first next to God and give your life to her? Are you willing to do that? I can't think of any higher love than you'd be willing to lay down your life for your wife, gentlemen. Next to God, our wives must be the more important things in our lives. most important thing. Now, some men say, you don't know my wife. She's impossible. Well, gentlemen, we're the same way. We're impossible too. We need to remember that God loves us unconditionally and that love never, ever fails, nor does it ever divorce us. Never. We are to love our wives in the same way, unconditionally and forever. It's a good resolution to make, okay? Let's look at another one. However, each one of you also must love your wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Wives, I had to stop for a moment because somebody was talking to the wife, says, just as I said that, kind of saying, listen, dear, listen. You know. Wives, your husband needs encouragement. Your husband needs support. Your husband needs love. We do. And this is what respect is. If you want your husband to love you with the same kind of love that Jesus has for his church, then respect your husband and love him. He needs it. As old saying, you can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. You heard that. If you want your husband to change for the better, then you must lift him up in prayer. You encourage him, support him in his efforts. I think I've told you this before, but I've got to share it with you again. My wife and I have been married for a long time. And we are a typical couple. Now, I know you think pastors are perfect. But, you know, we're no different than you. I just have this job. You got your jobs. And I can remember we're having some challenges through our life. I remember raising our kids. You know, she was raised one way, I was raised a different way, and boy, did we have the challenge in raising our kids. Woo! Yeah. And during that time, the kids were home. I was a tyrant. I'll be honest with you. I when I first became a Seventh-day Adventist, I was Mr. Legalist. And I let her know it. I tried to control her. I tried to change her. I tried to straighten her out. And then, it's interesting, after our kids left, now my wife may have a completely different story. You understand that, right? After our kids left, the role switched. She no longer dominated these children, controlled these children, so she turned it on me. And she started straightening me out, or trying to. More like trying to straighten me out. And that happened for several years. Then one day, I'll never forget, it hit me. My wife hasn't lectured me or corrected me or told me what to do for several weeks now. I wonder what's going on. So I asked her. I said, dear, what's going on? You haven't, you know. Her comment was very interesting. Well, she says, I realized that it wasn't doing any good. And so I decided to give it to God. I feel God is the only one that can change you, so I just start praying for you. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Wives, respect your husband. That's part of the resolution, loving your spouse. Next one. I'm going to throw this iPad away pretty soon. I think that a message to Charlie. Charlie, I think we'll try putting the computer on the pulpit from now on and see if this helps any. At least I can get to it faster. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to have to go to Apple and say, hey, straighten this out, will you? Okay. Number three, resolution number three. Raise your kids God's way. Now, I talked to you about our children matter. They really do. I mean, we need to invest in them, our time, our energy, our money. That's for eternity. That's for eternity. I can't think of anything else to invest them in that's more important than our kids, investing in our kids. So Ephesians says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, I saw that. This is interesting. I've never had this much trouble. I'm glad you guys, I hope you're getting something out of the talk. Is that where I left off? Okay. Be careful, watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen and let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. This was the challenge given. Oh. I'm looking at my head elder back there and thinking maybe he ought to be considering a new pastor. Anyway, is this where you are? Okay, and then the next one says, anyway, invest in your children. That should be a new reality. Make them priority after your wife. You know, and those of you that already raised your children, look around. These young families need help. You know? And it's not just parents, grandparents. You know, we have a responsibility towards our grandchildren. Help them. You know, we can't just pass it off on someone else. They are our inheritance. God gave us children. Have your children ever seen you pray? Have your children ever seen you read the scriptures? Have your children ever noticed that you want them to serve Jesus Christ? You know, we have a responsibility for our children. It's very interesting here. It says a study closely disclosed that if mom and dad attend church regularly, 72% of the children remain faithful to the church attendance. If only dad attends, 55% remain faithful. Now this hurts. If only mom attends, 15% remain faithful. Dads and mom, we need to pull together and let our children see what is important in our lives. Let them see what's important in our lives. Okay, number four, forgive. Kind of gave you a story on that already. But forgive is very important. Yeah. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Does anyone in your life which holds a grudge, do your best to forgive? Now, you don't have to always forget, because I don't believe we need to put ourselves in the place of a person that wants to constantly hurt us. So you need to protect yourself, but you need to forgive and pray that God will bless you. Don't keep bringing things up in the past about them. Don't dwell on the negative in life. Jesus tells us that we must forgive others of all wrong that they've done to us. And if God can forgive me for all that I've done, surely I can forgive others. Surely I can forgive them. Forgive and never mention it again. Number five, what about a resolution to fulfill the gospel commission? You know what that's about? Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded to you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So there we have it. The gospel commission. That was not just given to the 12 disciples. That is given to all of us, every one of us. We're to go out and we're to tell others of the love that God has for us. Tell them about Jesus. To share with them. Do we do that? Have we done that? How many non-believers have you told them about Jesus in this 2018? How many have I? I made a comment. I can't remember where. I think it was with some of you. It was in prayer meeting last Wednesday. I said, I'd like to pray that every member of the Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church will bring one person to Jesus Christ in 2019. Wouldn't that be great? One of the best ways to do that, I found, is to pray, start praying every day that God will put somebody in your pathway that you can share with them about Jesus. And you know what? He'll answer that prayer. I've seen him answer it time and time again. Time and time again. Number six, give God what is his. Now, I've got that into three areas: tithe, talents, and time. Those belong to him. The tithe, of course, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whatever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you so that all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every work. Now that verse tells me more than just tithe. Tithe is not mine anyway. But we need to be faithful in tithe. That should be a resolution. If we're not faithful in giving our tithe, we need to be faithful in giving our tithe to God. It's his. It's not mine. But then this verse points out that we need to give even beyond that. Beyond that, the Bible tells us that the more we give, the more we'll receive. We all need to pray about what we're to give to the church and give it out from our hearts, because we want to glorify God with our gifts. We should not give out of obligation. Don't give out of obligation. Give because of the love that God has put in your heart. That's really important. God will bless a cheerful giver, not one who feels they have to give. Think about that when you give. Talents. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to us according to Romans. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Every one of you have a gift. Every one of you have a gift. And I believe and I propose and I ask, whatever your gift is, use it as God has given it to you. Use it. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let your light shine. If you have a gift and you're not using it, come and talk to me or one of the elders. They'll help you use that gift. If you're sitting around and you're just enjoying church, you come once a week and you're not participating in any activity of the church or leading out or sharing your gift, you're just a sponge. Pray that God will give you the courage to step out and use the gift that he's given you. Each one of us have a gift. Let us use it cheerfully. And time, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? It can't. It is no longer good for anything except to throw it out, trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light their lamps or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So God has asked us as Christians. He's asked us as Christians to be the salt and the light on this earth. But in order for that to happen, that means that you and I have to be willing to give God our time. And to give God our time means that we are willing to be 100% completely committed to God our Father. I'd like to invite the deacons to pass out the cards now, if they will. The Connect cards, because in closing, I just want to say on the card itself, are these six suggested New Year's revolution. My step today is to love one another and forgive. To love one another and forgive. Sounds like to me a good resolution. Even amongst us as brothers and sisters, sometimes we hold grudges against each other. It's time to let it go. So take your pen, pencil out, fill out your name and email address and information. And if you have any prayer requests, please write them down. If you have any praise responses, please write them down. We look over every card. I read every card individually, carefully. And when there's a prayer request, you are prayed for. I promise you, you are prayed for. And your next step today, another one is to love my spouse and raise my kids God's way. Come on, parents and grandparents. Let's love our spouses like never before in 2019. Okay? And let's raise our kids and grandkids for Jesus Christ. The third one, to fulfill the Great Commission and give God what is His. Give it all to God. 100% your life and everything you can do to minister to others. You're filling that out and continue to do so. I just want to wish you a happy new year and challenge you to grab some resolutions that you can be strong in and powerful in. And I also promised you that we're going to have a kind of a different special blessing service that I want you to all be part of. And don't worry about lunch. I will guarantee you it will wait. If you can wait. We invite all of you here. This blessing service is unique. It's different. It's not one you have every day. It's kind of a special one. And I've done a lot of studying on this topic. I mean, I'll tell you, I've got so much study, it's almost like I could keep you here another hour and share with you what I've learned and discovered. And I want to just say that we have two young men who are going to be leaving us shortly to join the military service of the United States of America. And we need to bless them. And before we do that, though, I want to share with you some things I thought was quite interesting I discovered. It was Theodore Roosevelt in 1940 that signed the Selective Service into law, where young men were drafted into the military. That was 1940, 78 years ago. And every young man, 18 to 25, was to register for the Selective Service so that if a need should arise, we'd have a large, strong, well-trained army to protect us. Of course, we went through World War II, and then we went through the Korean War. These are just a few of them. And then the Vietnam War. It was during the Vietnam War that at 17 years of age, I signed up for the United States Army National Guard of California. I had an eight-year obligation. Every man has an eight-year obligation. You can do 2 years as a active and 6 years in reserve, or you could do 8 years in reserve. I signed up for reserve, and it was excellent training. I wouldn't have traded it for anything. But during that time, I became a Seventh-day Adventist. Now, the church takes a very interesting position. The church does not encourage young people to join the military. But at the same time, if a young person makes that choice, we are to present, are to represent them, are to encourage them, are to lift them up and you know, be with them 100%. 100%. We're to back that up and let them know we love them and ask God to protect them. Well, after 6 years and I became a Seventh-day Adventist, I took the stance, and this is not a preaching sermon to Cody or Zach. I took a stance that I would not carry arms anymore. And I went to my commander and I told him, I says, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I don't want to carry arms anymore. And they kind of looked at me kind of dumbfounded. And they said, okay. And but they didn't know what to do with me because, you know, when we marched, things like that, I'm standing around with nothing. And so they gave me the battalion flag. So now every time we fell in place or we went on a march, my job was to carry the battalion flag. I'll never forget the first inspection that came. Once a year we had a major inspection. This major came in and he comes up to me and he looks at me and he says, where's your weapon, soldier? I looked at him and I says, conscientious objector, sir. He just had this blank look on his face and he walked on. I was glad. Then I decided to go into ministry. And I couldn't continue in the military and go to college at the same time because everything was conflict and I had to work and everything. And so I went to the draft board and talked to them. And in faith, it's a long story. I mean, this took weeks to do this, but in faith, they said to me, we will give you a 4D classification, a ministerial classification, and we'll never question you again. And they took my file. And they stuck it in a drawer, bottom drawer of the file cabinet. She said, see that file? I said, yeah. She said, those are all ministers or ministers in training. And we never look in that drawer after we put it in there because if we can't trust ministers, who can we trust? I thought, wow. That was incredible. So the remaining 2 years I spent in the inactive reserve to finish out my obligation. So some of you may think one way and think another. I just want to tell you a little bit of my history. Vietnam War was terrible. Our unit almost got called to go to Vietnam. We never did. I always stayed stateside, but we almost got called. But here's something that I think is very interesting. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. The title was Submit to the Government. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, you know, some of us question that, especially April 4th, 15th, but that's what it says. God has established our leaders. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Wow. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against God, what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. Now, Paul is speaking during the time of Nero. And the Christians were being persecuted, and eventually Paul was persecuted. But he is telling the Christians, no, you don't stand up and fight the government for the government because God set them in place. You do what the government says unless it is contrary to you and your relationship with God. And verse 3 says, for the rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. Did you hear that? For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment upon the wrongdoer. As I was studying this in the last 2 or 3 weeks, it kind of made me think a little bit different about our military and about our police officers. They are chosen agents by God to serve our country and to protect us. Therefore, verse 5, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why we pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who gave their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay your taxes. If revenue, then pay your revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, than to honor. And I thought, wow, this is a passage we don't hear much about very often. But it's important. It's important. I believe we live in a country that God has set aside for his people in order that we can get the message we have out to the whole world. And we're to respect our government. And if we have the opportunity or choose to serve our country, then blessings on us because we've been chosen by God. And so as Zach and Cody made this decision to serve their country, we want God to bless them and we want to be a blessing for them. Before I call up here, I want to see the hands. How many here, besides myself, is a veteran? Quite a few hands. Praise God. Praise God. Served your country. Served your country. So Zach and Cody, come on up here. Colleen, where's Colleen? You know, I left a couple of items in my office somewhere. Could you see if you could find them? She knows what I'm talking about, so she's going to go find them. Thank you, Colleen. I want to ask you guys a couple of questions before we have a special blessing for us. First of all, I'll start with Cody because he's right here. What branch of service are you going to serve our country in?
I'm going into the Marines.
He needs a special blessing. What is it you hope to do while you're there? What is it? What kind of training are you going to?
I'm going to be a mechanic working on the vehicles.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. We need good mechanics. That's great. How long obligation do you have?
4 years active.
Four years inactive. And 4 years inactive, yeah. So still. Oh, and by the way, I want to say, I never realized until I did some study, and young people, in case you don't know this, when they're 18 years old, still, thank you, still have to register with the Selective Service. I did not realize that. They've done away with it during the Vietnam War of of the draft. They did away with the draft, but you still have to sign for the selective service. As a matter of fact, it's something like, it's in my notes here somewhere, but if you don't sign when you're 18 years old, within 30 days, it's something like $2,500 fine and 5 years in jail. So if you're a young person, in case nobody ever told you, be sure you register. Because Zach, where are you headed?
I'm headed to the Air Force.
Air Force? Mm-hmm. Headed to the Air Force. And they accepted you?
Yes. They did.
I got to tell you this. I tried twice before I was a Seventh-day Adventist to join the United States Air Force. I wanted to fly. I wanted to be a pilot. And both times I went to the recruiter's office, they were gone. They were out of town. Both times. And the Army officer says, hey, why don't you take a test? We can sure you can be an officer in the Army. And I said, no, thank you. So they wouldn't let me in there for us, so congratulations. How long you signed up for?
4 years active, 4 years inactive.
4 years active, mm-hmm. 4 years inactive. Wow. And what's your ammo? What's your going to be your job?
My ammo would be fueling. So on base, fueling the machines, the jets, the vehicles, and then also just fuel maintenance the entire time. So.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good. Fueling. Good. Kind of like what I did, I think. I was in an aircraft unit, and my job was keeping track of all the records. All the records. At the end of the service, the church has two gifts we want to give you. These are gifts, packets that are made up especially for those going in the military. Inside this packet is a Bible and several brochures that give you answers to any questions you might have. And so this is your gift from us, your friends, your body. What can we do for them while they're in the service? Anybody want to tell me?
Pray.
Pray. Okay, anything else? Mail them packages. All right. Care package. I like that. For how long?
4 years.
4 years. I love it. Too bad I'm so old. I might join you. No, that's great. That's great. No, write them letters. Pray for them. Moms and dads, keep us informed on these two young men so we can write them and pray for them. Don't forget them. 4 years. That's a stretch. Keep them strong in your prayers. Keep them strong in prayers. I'd like to have a special prayer, a blessing upon them, but I'd like to invite my elders to come and join me. Could you? I didn't warn them about this, so that's the way it goes. Yeah. Just kind of stand here in the middle here. Now, I'd like to invite those to surround the elders who are veterans, come on up. I want the veterans to come up. Come up and surround these elders in support of these two young men. Yes. And as you come up, I'm going to give you a scriptural promise. I'm going to give you a scriptural promise that I want you to read out loud to these two young men. Okay? Good. So go right back there. And Zach and Cody, I want you to hear these promises. These promises for you. Great.
For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:38-39.
Wow. Nothing what you're going to face will separate you from God's love. Great.
Psalms 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Psalms 139, 9 through 10. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast.
Amen.
Psalms 91:14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name.
Yes.
1 Peter 5:8 and 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen. So here are some promises. There's many, many more. But keep these promises in your heart. Sometimes things will get rough. Not always smooth. But God will be with you. I'd like to ask the families of these two young men to just stand. Just stand right where you are, and the rest of the congregation bow their heads. I'd like to have prayer for these two young men, and the elders place their hands on these men, and you veterans place your hands on the elders, that God, as you continue to extend out and bless these young men. Father God, what an awesome responsibility these two men have chosen. To not only serve you, but to also serve their country. And Father, we pray a very special blessing on them. And I challenge them, Father, in the presence of all these witnesses, that these two men will not only represent their country, but we'll always remember that they're part of a much larger army. An army of the army of the kingdom of God. Amen. And as they serve the country and work side by side with other men and women, Father, may they always keep a sharp eye out to share the love that you put in their hearts. May they not only be missionaries for the United States of America, but may they always be missionaries for the kingdom of God. Bless them, I pray. Protect them. Put your arms around them. And may they call upon you day and night as they serve you and their country. We praise your name for this opportunity. We thank you for your blessings. And we thank you for our country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, buddy. God bless you. And if you have any questions, ask these veterans back here. I'd like to ask the deacons to take the offering at this time.